Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Daniel, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're going to go over to the book of Daniel. Now, I'm not exactly sure what your thoughts are on this upcoming holiday. But being that it is Thanksgiving, I want you to know that there's a lot that we can be thankful for. For instance, we were told we might not even be able to have Thanksgiving. Do you remember that? But Dr. Fauci told us we could have it. Okay. I want you to know something. The chapter before us deals with deposing a king. The Bible tells us that God sets up one and puts down another. Right now, we have what God has allowed. Think about that for a minute. Why do we have what we have in our government and in our powers that be? It's because it's what we've desired deep down. We wanted to be left alone, and so the devil said, yay! He went out there and started stirring the pot. And everybody was doing bad things for many years. Decades. Bad, bad stuff. Ugly, terrible things, unmentionable things, dark things, evil things. And the Christians kind of went off into their own little corner because the water was fine. The atmosphere was calm. When in reality, underneath it all, there was brewing a great big storm. We're in a storm right now. We're feeling it in our families, in our homes. We're feeling it in our loved ones, in our children. Those of us who have a little more years on us, we can look at our kids and our grandkids and our hearts bleed for them because we remember what it was like to be in our 30s. And we remember when life was fresh, sparkly, and everything was possible. But now, we worry for our children. And even more so now with the new mandates for our children's children. But you need to know that God's in charge. You need to know that He has everything under control. No matter what comes, no matter what heartbreaks come, it's not new. The entire history of man is wrought with a whole lot of debris. We've been spoiled to the point where having difficulty, disruptions, and so forth has been pushed far away from our door. But for most of humanity's time, there's been death and loss and difficulty and plague and so forth. What is coming, I believe with all my heart, on the earth, is the tribulation. I don't think we're there yet, obviously. My theology informs me. Not that I hope so, but that I have a really strong conviction about it because it makes sense from all sides. I like to put the puzzle on the table, look at it, recheck it, make sure I'm on good ground. And I believe we're on really good ground here. And I believe Jesus is coming. But I also do believe that Jesus is going to allow us to maybe go into a little bit of this mess. Because that's what He does. He telegraphs to the world through the epistles of His people. We are epistles seen and read of men. And how we handle difficulty, how we handle the fires that may be coming our way, that's what's going to testify to the lost what they must do when the rapture does occur. Right now, I don't think many people would know what they should do if the rapture were to occur. I talk to people who have no clue about what's going on behind the curtain. And they'll just look at you like there's no news other than what's on the TV. This is a difficult day. But we've been in the job of waking people up ever since we came to know Jesus. That's what our job's been. So we're not rattled by it. We just kind of go along with the flow. And we try to bring them along, and we can tell them about a number of things, whether it's a mark in the hand or the forehead coming, or a global environment coming, or a tribulation coming that's going to be unlike anything else the world's ever seen. We can tell them. But what's interesting is that God has given us many paradigms in the Scriptures of the very thing we're looking at today. In chapter 5 of the book of Daniel, the Bible says Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before the 1,000. You say, well, who's Belshazzar? Well, he's quite a ways down the line from Nebuchadnezzar. There's like 3 or 4 generations. It's like him, and there's 3 people before him. And here he is on scene at the end of the tour that Daniel will have in in Babylonian captivity. He comes in as a teenager, and he's going to be 80, 85 years old by the time it's all said and done. And he will have run his course like Paul did. He will have kept the faith and all of those things that Paul would have said. He would be able to say that just as boldly as Paul did. But what he's telling us in this time of writing is he's telling us that there was a king who came into being at the end of the kingdom of Babylon. And now this is the first kingdom. This is the physical kingdom. You and I are living right now in what I believe to be the spiritual kingdom of Babylon. Babylon in the Old Testament was the glory of all kingdoms. You and I live in the glorious kingdom of the earth. This is why the Bible admonishes us not to love the world, neither the things that are of the world. Because if you love Babylon, you won't want to represent the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's the dichotomy that's being drawn here. And the Bible tells us that Belshazzar comes into his own, and his name literally has the idea of Bel protect the king. Now that is stark contrast to Nebuchadnezzar's name, whose name meant Nebo, protect the crown. And it kind of gives us an unfolding of how things have come from worried about the crown, the people who would come after, all of that. No, he didn't care about the crown. He thought about the king. I'm the king. It's all about me. Narcissism was part of the Babylonian system as it came down to its end. And here is Belshazzar. He has a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. This means that he is so comfortable in his own skin and his own kingdom that he's willing to bring everybody into the room and have a party. Now you may say, well, a king can have a party. Can a king have a party? Well, yeah, a king can have a party, but they know that the Medes and the Persians are outside. They know that. The king knows that the Medes and the Persians are outside the gate. Now, how much more does he really know? Well, he's probably a foolish, what we might call second generationer. I'm going to use that as more like fourth generationer. But he's down the road. He didn't learn what Nebuchadnezzar learned. Nebuchadnezzar had dreams in the night, and he was told what the meaning of those dreams was. And he would stumble out of the gate, and he would then build an idol to this and make everybody bow down to it. And then he'd get told again by three Hebrews finding themselves in a fiery furnace. And he finally gets insanity because he still didn't get the memo. And the reason God worked so deliberately with Nebuchadnezzar proper was because he was the first king of the times of the Gentiles. And God was setting the stage for all kings that would come after him, that God was still involved in his people's lives. In the last days, the Bible says that Israel will be a cup of trembling, a burdensome stone. Israel wasn't even around from 70 AD until 1948. And one of some of the things that you would hear. But my point for you today is to know that God wanted all of the Gentiles to know he still loved his people. And he did so by putting Daniel and his friends right in the right place at the right time, at the cusp of the times of the Gentiles. Israel was going to be bumping along for the longest of times until the Messiah would come. After Messiah came and they rejected him, about a generation later, roughly 40 years later, Jerusalem was just destroyed and the people were scattered everywhere. It's a phenomenon to look at the Jews, that they even exist today. From 70 AD to 1948, they were nowhere to be found as a people group collected anywhere. And they didn't water down. Because they have a residue of the Spirit of God upon them, I believe. Everything they touch, everything they do, seems to be in some sort of a way blessed. The Bible says that Belshazzar was nevertheless losing the plot right out of the gate. It's early. This is the first of four kingdoms that have to come. We now are at least in the shadow of that last kingdom. And the Bible says he drank wine. And the Bible says in verse 2, Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, and what this literally could be translated for your mind's eye, is while the wine drank him, okay, because now he's getting a little bold. He's getting a little bit into the dissipation part. A lot of people say, well, I can handle it. Well, you got more confidence in you than I got in me sober. Okay, we can't handle this world. This world gets on you. You want to open up a Pandora's box in your heart, just go ahead and throw it back because the devil's just waiting for you to be filled with what? Wine and spirits. The lost people, they think it's cute. They think that's fun because they're riding a wave of something outside of themselves. What we ride is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Excess means dissipation. It means it brings you to a point of riot. It has an idea of that which is excessive. It takes you to excesses. We already have a hard time with that. So let us be clear. The Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit of God, not with the spirit of drink. This man got filled with the spirit of drink, and it made him go somewhere he might not have otherwise gone. And what it says is, whilst he tasted the wine, he commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Think about that. This is a big deal. Do you know what's happening here? He knows what his father went through. He knows. And when he says his father, it is sort of a great-great-grandfather, but they all called them their father, okay, just for the record, so if you're kind of hitched there. But the idea here is he's saying, bring out these implements. Why didn't he call from the implements of other worship systems that were out there? Why did he have to call for the Jewish systems implements? Because he knew. He knew that it was that God that had humbled his grandfather. It was that God that caused him to take pen in hand and say, I declare that he is the God of gods. And what he did that in chapter 4. And the Bible says that he commanded that all these vessels be brought into this debauched party that was going on with a siege underway outside of the gates. It's the Titanic can't sink kind of mentality. The Titanic's too big to sink. It can't go down. Now, I want you to know the whole world, we would look at the whole world if we would look at it today and we were still back in 2018, let's say, we'd say, no way. That can't happen. What's happening in the world can't happen. It's too big to have this happen. And it's happening. And the linchpin of it all is the United States. We're the linchpin. We're the last man standing. Notable, but under siege. And people are crying out, Save America rallies. Save America rallies. I want to say to you that that is a misnomer. It used to be God save America. But God forbid that we say God save America. That's what this world's doing. They're acting as if God can be dismissed. We need God in America. I like what some people did. They turned it around. They said, bless God America. Not God bless America. Bless God, America. Bless God. Be a blessing. Stop the nonsense. Run to Him. Love on Him. He's good. He's worthy. You won't regret it. Oh, the Bible says repentance that He gives is a repentance that is not to be repented of. You're not going to be sad if you run to the Lord Jesus. Oh, the Bible says this man got drunk. He knew all that he knew. And the people in our day are still in America kind of drunk on their own self-importance. They think they're smart. They think they know things. They discover a passage in the Bible and they say, oh, the dragon in the book of Revelation. Well, that's China. They don't know what they're doing. They're handling this loaded weapon with foolishness as a child might a firearm. I'm telling you, we're living in a time where it's really scary because people who are in powerful places are wicked at heart. People who are below them, who think they're smarter and better than them because they would never do what they're doing, are doing other things that are just as egregious to God. God says there's no difference between sin. All of sin, one piece of fruit from the tree put them out of the garden, and they were forever subjected to the curse that you and I today have inherited down through the ages. We're looking at a cursed earth. We're looking at a cursed world. We're looking at death everywhere. We're looking at a history of wars, of graft, of murder. We're looking at a history of theft and lies and deceit and oppression. But we're living in a day right now that is so evil that if we could just see it with our eyes bare, it would take all the wind out of our sails and take all our appetite away from what we previously enjoyed.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio, and I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies, and we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.